This is Phoenix FM. I'm very delighted to be joined with my regular monthly guest in the studio. It is a writer. She's a journalist. She was the head of Brentwood's Writer Circle as well. Promotes loads of other local writers in the area and helps up. It's always in the Brentwood Gazette. Chelmsford, she writes all over the place. It is the wonderful Sylvia Kent.
Good morning.
I'll turn your microphone up. That would help, wouldn't it? Starting off the way I mean to carry on this morning. How are you?
I'm very well.
And you make them. And I have to tell you, the last time Sylvia came in, you know she brought in some jam, strawberry jam. She brought in some date chutney and some spicy chutney. Now, the strawberry jam is nearly gone. The date chutney, there's one scraping left. I had it on sausages. Oh, my God. It was delicious. I have to say, fabulous.
A bit hot. Yeah, I make hot stuff.
Lovely. But it's nice to know that I didn't leave it in the cupboard. You knew I was going to eat it.
Good, yeah. And it can't really go off with all that vinegar.
Didn't get a chance.
It's only a small pot anyway.
It's lovely.
You've got wine today.
I know. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we've got grapevines just been planted, and it can take a year or two, but you'll have more wine
Excellent.
As time goes by.
This is what I like. I like people that come in with gifts. That's what I like in the studio. So tell us, before we introduce our guests in the studio today, tell us what you've been up to lately and what's going on. Because we do want to talk about speed dating. Hold on. Before you all get excited, for writers.
For writers, yes. Well, that's next week. That's at Billericay Library, 7:30, part of the Essex Book Festival. It didn't end in March, as I said. We carry on. We've had lots of different things. And this is going to be fun, because about 20 people will be sitting at little desks around the library. There'll be a bell. And you go up to the person that you want to speak to, say you want to talk to an agent or a publisher, or me, I'll be doing journalism. We have Elizabeth Lord, who'll be talking about sagas and love books, children's stories. You know, it's going to be fun. There is a price, I think it's £5, but £4 for people, you know, older people, little concessions, and it should be fun, refreshments, and our readers group, which is why I'm here, really, isn't it? Because I usually tell you what we've been reading. It's been a bit of a quiet time.
Oh, just speed dating, whereabouts is going to be taking place?
Billericay Library,
right, okay.
High Street, and you can park around the back. It's a car park around the back. Or indeed, I think you can park in the High Street after 6:30 or something like that.
Okay.
Should be fun. And your favourite's going to be there.
Yeah.
That nice... Remember Peter Jones?
Yes, Peter Jones is coming in next week. We're starting our happy club.
Yes.
I'm in a particularly bad mood, Peter, so good luck with that. But he's coming in. We should be having quite a good rapport.
And he's got a lovely new book out about... Oh, dieting.
Yes, he's tried to give me that. No, I have seen it. We did talk about it last time he was in, but he's very, very funny. He's great company, Peter. He's really good fun.
Yes. Yeah. He's been to Brentwood Writers, by the way. And Jim is on the council, on our committee.
Yeah.
He looks after the money at Brentwood Writers Circle.
Now, people will be going, who is Jim? I mean, Jim has suddenly appeared there. And they'll be, who is Jim? Would you like to introduce Jim?
Alongside me, we have Jim Reeve, the author.
And good morning.
He has lots and lots of... he's done lots of things in his life. And we have Joan, who is his editor.
Hello, Joan.
The two of them. They're, you'll be hearing from them a bit later on. Yeah. But it's our Jim. Lives
good morning.
At,
good morning,
everybody. Jim.
Lives locally.
Yep, I live in West Hanningfield.
Yes.
In fact, lived in Billericay and West Hanningfold for the last 50... I'll have to ask the boss, I think, about the last 50-odd years, or suppose, And, you know, we love it here, quite frankly. We really do.
And Jim has a whole string of books, which are sold locally, but also at Hanningfield Reservoir, where he's a fisherman.
That's correct.
As well.
Yeah. In fact, we moved from Billericay to West Hanningfield when we were about 40, because I was looking towards retirement then. I was a local housing officer, you know, for Basil and Development Corporation. Prior to that, I'd been a policeman for a while, you know, for about 5 years. And so we moved to West Hanningfield with a view to actually retiring ultimately.
Yeah.
And because take up my fishing, which I absolutely love, you know, fly fishing, terrific, you know. And used to bring some of the trout into Brentwood Writers Circle and used to raffle them, didn't we, actually? But I haven't caught so many lately. I don't know why.
Now, you're here to talk about your writing.
Yeah.
And I always ask every writer that comes in, because it's one of those things I know that Sylvie says everyone's, you know, we all do think we've got a book, is actually having the discipline to sit down, because you have to be very, very disciplined. When did you kind of get the kind of, I'd like to try and write? Was it when you were a very small child, or was it later in life?
Funny enough, it was when I was a child. I had the sort of childhood that I would have been put into care nowadays, but in fact, I was forbidden to read or anything like that in our bedroom. And the light was turned off, so we couldn't read. But I actually invented a torch, my own torch, and made a torch, and used to write underneath the bedclothes, you know.
Yeah.
And when my stepfather used to come in, we used to put it out very quickly, you know.
Yeah.
And then from there, when I went into national service, I met Joan, and I used to write to her probably about 30 or 40 pages a time, practically every day. And then when we got married, ultimately, I used to tell the kids short stories, etc. And Joan said, why don't you try and write some of these down, which I did. And then ultimately, I did a course on writing. They said, send in one of the stories that you've written, you know, while I was doing the course. But I decided to send in one that I had written before.
Yeah.
And I sent that in, and they said it was great. And they've actually published that. It was Schoolboy's Annual.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I got there. And then, of course, I did. I won Writer of the Year for Basildon one year.
Mm-hmm.
But soon after that, I became a manager for Basildon Development Corporation. And quite frankly, I just didn't have the energy, although I wanted to write, I didn't have the energy to actually do so. When I retired, that's when I really started writing, and I am very disciplined about it. I get up and I sit down, and there's only one way to write, and that's to sit down on the seat and write, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always alter anything afterwards if you can't, you know, but you can put down rubbish and then alter it afterwards. Must be rubbish.
Yeah. So you basically, you'll just sit in a room with, do you use a computer? But you've gone,
yes,
yeah.
I use a computer.
So you
yeah,
just say,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to be here for 3 hours, doesn't matter what I do, but I have to stay here for 3 hours.
Funny enough, we've got a summer house. We call it the Mouse House. And the reason for that is Joan had an accident. Some guy hit her up the back in the car, and she break because of a mouse, you know. And this guy thought it was, anyway, she got whiplash.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Joan, laughing in the background. Sorry, Joan.
And as a result of that, we bought this summer house. So I tend to sit up in the summer house, in the garden, and write from there. And I've got a laptop, you know. And I love it, quite frankly.
So tell us about the books and where you got your inspiration. Because most people, when they write, and I know you said this before, you need to write about stuff. Unless you do loads of research, you have to write about things that you know.
Yeah.
So are your books based on your experiences?
Some of my experiences. I mean, obviously, being an ex-police officer from the Elephant and Castle I was at, which was brilliant, you know, quite frankly. And then, of course, when I actually retired, well, didn't retire from the police, but I actually gave it up because of personal reasons, you know. And then, as I say, that I then started working for the Greater London Council, and we had 12 estate officers there, and in fact, every one of them was actually robbed at some stage, you know. And the only one that wasn't was me. Because, in fact, and the reason why I wasn't robbed, one, I was a police officer, ex-police officer. Mm. Two, in fact, I went to school with most of the villains anyway.
The villains.
And that was the reason, anyway.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I started writing. I wrote, as I say, I got that one published from Thompson's.
And what was that book called?
That was only just a small short story. That was Stephen's Axe, and it was about Saxons. And what I like to do, I'm very fortunate in as much as I can sit down with a blank page, put a sentence in there, And then the ideas just become to me. You know,
yeah.
I'm very fortunate in that. I don't often plan a book. I've got a good idea in my mind, you know, what I want to do. But in fact, I'm very fortunate that I can actually just, you know, write. Not particularly well, but...
I'm sure you can.
He's done very
how
well.
How many books have you actually written?
Pardon?
How many books have you written in your time?
Well, I've actually written about 5 novels.
Wow.
And I've had 5 books published.
Yep.
And the fifth one's coming out very shortly, but they're local history books. The first one I did was actually Wickford Memories, and I went round, and to be honest, I didn't have a clue how to really start, so I went into the local cafe, spoke to one of the waitresses there, and said, "Have you got any characters in here?" You know, and she pointed out some lady who was about 90 at that particular time had come in for a breakfast, and that was Queenie, and she was marvellous. You know, mm. She had wonderful mm. stories, and anyway, that and one of her stories was that she was taken out to Great Burstead to see the Zeppelin that came down during the First mm. World War, you know. Mm. And she was about 4 years old
yes.
at the time.
Yeah.
She said the thing that she remembered most was the actual smell of burning flesh.
Mm.
So I did the Wickford book, went round, from there she gave me various people to contact. I met some marvellous characters. One, Ernie Woods, who was the local... he was a local grave digger.
Yeah.
And he was down a grave when he had a heart attack.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
But he didn't realise it, and he got out, and he went and sat in his car. He didn't realise he had a heart attack. And he thought, "I've got to dig this grave, you know." Anyway, he went back down again, didn't feel well, so he went home, and his son took him to hospital. And when he woke up, he fell asleep, and then he woke up, and he found all these pipes over him. He said, "I must get these off. I've got to get back. The funeral's this afternoon at 2:00. And I said to him, "Ernie, that was two days ago."
Oh, wow.
That's dedication, isn't
yeah, very good.
Dedication.
You didn't do that on purpose, did you, Sylvia? How cruel.
That's brilliant.
Then having worked for Basildon Development Corporation, I then did my next book, was actually Basildon Memories.
Mm.
And I knew a lot of people in Basildon, and I went round and I interviewed them and put... Of course, Basildon, you know, when the new town started, etc., people came from all over the country.
Mm.
And it was, you know, anyway, that was the next book I did. And the one after that was Schoolboys War in Cornwall.
Yeah.
In fact, I was evacuated to Cornwall during the war. I can remember, my mum was one of these types when the war started in 1939. She said, "Hitler's not going to get me out of here.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay in my house and that's it."
And where were you in London
I was in London at the time, in Bethnal Green.
Yeah.
And what happened was that I think it was about June, July time when the bombing started in London in 1940, we were under the table, down in the basement, and we could hear the bombs falling outside, you know. And my aunt was under the table with us. You know, we didn't have a shelter at that time.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
And the ceiling came down,
oh,
you know.
Dear.
And it was terrible. Anyway, so in fact, Mum said, "I think we'd better get the kids evacuated," you know. So we went down to Cornwall.
Yeah.
And I was very lucky. We went to Newquay as such.
Yeah.
And we were put into a hotel with Mum.
Yeah.
And with about 50 other East Enders, you know, so you can imagine what it was like down there. And as I say, I really did enjoy being down there, although you tend to think of Cornwall as being, nothing happened down there regarding bombs, but it did.
Yeah.
We had children machine gunned on the beaches and things like that.
Yeah.
What I did is I was supposed to write 50,000 words, and I came to the end about 25,000. And I thought, what do I do now, you know, because if they'd have said, go on to Essex as well, I could have done Essex, but I didn't, you know, but they didn't ask me to.
Mm.
And there was somebody writing about Essex evacuation anyway. So, in fact, the editor of The Great Britain put put an advert in the paper, and I had about 40 people respond to me, and they gave me their stories of when they were evacuated.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic, you know, it really was, from the point of view that there were one particular woman who actually... She got on a train and the train wouldn't move, and they wondered why. This was in Euston Station, and the train didn't move, and then suddenly this dark train came in and all wounded soldiers started getting out and they started carrying them off, and it transpired they were returning from Dunkirk, apparently.
Yeah.
You know. But it was fascinating, some of the stories that actually people told me and what I experienced myself when I was down there. You know, I can remember seeing a Spitfire out in the harbour, just almost out of sight in Newquay, and the lifeboat couldn't get out to them.
Yeah.
And the guy was sitting on the wing waving to everybody, you know. But one of the local boats went out and got him, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was that book.
My mum is still frightened of the thunder. She's 83.
Yeah.
And she hears thunder. She said, because it reminds her of the bombs.
Yes, yes.
She said it really does make her nervous. And when she was at home, there was a bomb went off in... She used to live in Scrafton Road in Ilford.
Yeah.
And the bomb went off, and she said one minute she was at the front door, and the next minute she was down the back of the hall, and the door was actually on top of her, but which saved her. I think Plessy's, as she used to work in Plessy's in Ilford.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She took the day off because she's had an argument with my dad.
Yeah.
And the girl who took over a line in the factory was killed.
Oh, no.
And my dad rushed over to Plessy's because the bomb landed on Plessy's, thought my mum was in there.
Yeah.
And she'd actually taken the day off because they had an argument and she was showing off, she was at home.
Yeah.
So and they were girlfriend and boyfriend since they were kind of like 13 or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And when she got, just very quickly, she got evacuated and on her own to a horrible family. And she wrote to her dad and she said, I don't like it, Dad. I feel very lonely. And they've been sending her sweets. I've got the sweets, but when I opened them, the lady took them. And then she said, one day, she said, Eileen, we're off. And it was her dad. And he came to pick her up. And she went, get upstairs and get your stuff. And then she went back. So she was at home during the, you know, she was only away for a few weeks because she sent the letter and said they'd taken her sweets, and her dad turned up, and that was it. Come on, Eileen, you're going. That was the end of that.
Yeah. Funny enough, so one of the things that happened to me between my brother and I, we were in this hotel, as I say, and we had a room there. And we did notice that Dad came home on leave, you know, and then we did so notice that Mum was getting a little bit fatter.
Ah.
Wondering why, you know.
But and then one,
too much new bread, she used to tell us. Anyway, so in fact what happened was that one morning Billy and I woke up, he's my younger brother, and his Mum wasn't there. And one of the ladies, Mrs. Turnip or something, I think, but she came in and she said, Mum's gone, she's gone into hospital and she's going to have a baby, you know, and she explained it. And then another woman came in, very austere she was, she said, you're coming with me. And she let us out and we went to this home, and she took us to this home. And it was absolute misery. They locked us in a room, you know. And then for some unknown reason, they decided to split us up.
Yeah.
They put Billy in another home. And then in October, it was Billy's birthday. So, in fact, the lady said, do you want to see your brother on a birthday? And I was quite surprised about that. Anyway, she took me to see my brother. And I bought some sweets on the way. I don't know if they were on ration at the time. I can't remember. And I went up to the door and I was going to give Billy these sweets for his birthday. And I thought, I was only about five. And I thought, well, it's going to upset him if he sees me again. So I decided that I wouldn't actually see him. And as I turned away, I said, no, I won't see him, but give him these sweets. And as I turned away, Billy was in the window, crying his eyes out.
Yeah.
And we've never forgot that. I mean, I'm 77 now, and we've never actually forgotten that. He's in Australia, and he comes home, he comes back to England regularly, and we often talk about it as we're fishing over the reservoir. You know?
Right, we're going to come back in a second. We've just got to take a quick break and do some ads and some travel for you, and then we can be back with Studio by Silver. Sylvia Kent.
Hello.
With the book club. Jim Reeves. Hello.
Hello.
Writer and Joan Reeves.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Joan? You haven't said very much. I just want to bring you in a little bit, Joan. So you're an editor. That's what you do.
No, I just edit Jim's work.
It's an editor.
So when
Jim will sit there and he'll write stuff, what do you just go through and you basically just take out chunks or you rearrange or look at it with fresh eyes?
I normally, when he's finished what he's writing, I go through it for him. And if I think perhaps he should take things out, yes, I do, but not very often.
Yeah.
Well, she's a whiz. Really. She's a whiz on English, literature.
Yeah. Well, I just like English, but that's all really. And I sometimes go around with him. Well, I normally go around with him if he's researching and help him with his research.
Yeah.
Which is normally quite fun, particularly when he did the Cornwall book because we went down there.
Oh, lovely! Cornwall's lovely.
And we went around various places that we know Cornwall pretty well. Mm. And we went down there. Actually, we spent our honeymoon down there as well. But we do know Cornwall very well.
What part actually?
In Newquay. When it was very nice then. I don't like it so much now because it's too crowded. But at that time, it was lovely.
And do you remember the letters that Jim used to write you when he sort of used to write?
I still have them actually.
Oh, that's like the whole tin. Have you not thought about getting those like a love story
published?
I don't know whether it'd be a bit rude.
It could be a bit rude.
After we've gone,
I might have to edit them first.
All right. They're 2 pages long now.
It's so helpful, you know. You've got a husband or partner who helps and understands, because we're very strange people, writers. We go up there, I go up in my little office for hours and hours. Yeah. Last night it was 1 o'clock because I had to get a piece finished. But Jim knows,
you get lost.
And that's, mine's non-fiction, although I do write short stories, but you get absolutely lost in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I normally tell him to take his mobile phone up to the summer house so that I don't have to run all the way up the garden.
And his thermos of cocoa.
Yes.
Not until the winter.
If Joan doesn't like something, she tells me in no uncertain terms.
Yeah.
I wrote a play once for radio, and it was called Who Cares About Norman? And it was a time that they were putting people out into the community, and I was very concerned about it because, in fact, in my area, I had 6,000 properties running, and out of those, 5 of them were burnt down in a year because of not the people's fault who were coming out into the community, but the local yobbos used to find them and in fact go in there, smoke, use it for drugs, take their ladies, girlfriends in there, etc. And they used to burn these places down. You know, we'll tell you one or two stories about it, but Joan absolutely hated it. You didn't like it at all, did you?
I didn't like it. It's very well written, though.
He just didn't like it, did he? I did send it off to Channel 4 eventually. In fact, they weren't interested. But I thought it was a sort of Cathy come home thing, you know. And that's, you know, but as I say, Joan, if she doesn't like it, she tells me so. You know? And I want that as well, because there's no good Joan saying, oh, I like this and I like that, and when it's horrible, you know, and if I have put a word round the wrong way or something, or even misspelt a word, which I have been known to do, then she will put it right, you know.
At this point, I should say that Essex Book Festival are putting on a competition for plays.
Ooh.
And I shall give Jim a form soon. Mm. And also to our writer's circle. We always mention that because very successful, 72 years, isn't it, in Brentwood?
Yeah, yeah, Victoria Wood is now the head of the Brentwood Writers'
Circle. Oh, that's London, the Society of Women Writers. Victoria Ward.
Yeah, that's fantastic,
And we're looking forward to meeting her and seeing her. And next year, of course, we're 120 years old.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to plan that special time. But and Jim is also a member. I know he's a chap.
Yeah.
But we do have men in our.
I have to wear my skirt.
We've got great legs for it, Jim.
Yeah. Joan's got her tartan skirt on today. I think he'd get away with that if he adopted a Scottish accent.
I was very lucky, actually, because I was the first guy actually to win one of their prizes.
A big prize as well.
Yep. Short story prize. Much to my surprise, I must admit. You know.
And we're very lucky in Essex. Mm. There's some super writers. They do belong to both London and obviously Brentwood Writers Circle.
Yeah.
We have 60-odd members, isn't that so?
Yeah.
And so Jim handles the money and Joan does the most wonderful cup of tea.
That's what we like. So just very quickly, because we are coming up to nearly 12 o'clock, if you want to get any hold of your new books, obviously they're on Amazon. You can pick them up on Amazon or they'll be at the Brentwood
Library.
Yeah, I've
got a website as well.
Oh, excellent. What's the website, Jim?
It's called jim-reeve.com.
Excellent. Okay. And you've got, as I said, you've written quite a lot of the history books as well.
Yes.
And you've got your novels on there. And hopefully we might get you on. Yeah, that'd be lovely to get something on Channel 4 with a play. You want to enter the...
Yes.
Yeah. That's what you want to be doing. Joan, you want to be checking out down the Summer House.
The one I hated before. Yeah.
Well, she gets half the royalties.
That's the best thing. Yeah.
So we've got a shared bank account.
All right. I'd like a man like that. Any man. In fact, it'd be quite nice. So don't forget, we've got the speed dating for writers. I must keep saying that for writers, which is taking place at Billericay Library.